You pray for me,
I know you do.
I've seen you pleading for me. I know you know
the way I go.
You take each step before me.
Tonight. Here we are for another live service together as we worship God, and we're on the 23rd day of September. One more broadcast on the 30th, and this month that is, and then we will be in October. You know, this is a month that coming up here that the demonic is in manifestation. I was in a dollar store, you know, $1.25 store here in Montana anyway. They're $1.25 now. They went up But anyway, I've been there this week, and a lady and her daughter came in, I guess her older daughter, maybe 20 years old, 18 to 20, and they bought together, well, they bought it as one, but they filled their cart with Halloween stuff, and I was there, and the bill came to $150-something. I couldn't believe it, all kinds of demonic stuff that they were buying. Obviously, they're operating under curses, and they don't even know it. They're telling this checker how wonderful Halloween is, how glorious it is, and how great it is. Well, no, nothing but demonic and a glorification of evil and darkness and death and every manner of black. And yeah, the daughter was wearing already all kinds of skeleton-looking things and demonic-looking attire, but they just don't know better, I guess, or they're willfully ignorant, one of the two. But yeah, October is the month that Satan tries to glorify himself even more. And then after that, we have the elections, and pray for those that will be able to put in a lot of people that will push back against the evil in the country that has been going on lately. If we're not in altogether World War III by then, nuclear war by then, we want to pray against that too as well, because they keep provoking Putin into battle and keep just luring him in. And he's not going to, the bear is not going to be silent forever, not going to not push back against the push on him. Eventually, he's going to have to do something and will do something, because he feels very threatened, and the bear that is threatened, yeah, not too pretty picture. Anyway, pray against the nuclear war, pray against all of that, that it will not take place and destroy this country. And even European countries don't want to see that happen. We don't like to see people have to die through war. Terrible, terrible thing. All right, anyway, welcome to the program. We're going to open up with some news here tonight. Amazing Florida Democrat. I mean, wow, that's unusual. Dave, is it Kerner, Palm Beach County Commissioner, endorses Governor Ron DeSantis for re-election in Florida. He called DeSantis America's governor. Yeah. Well, I bet the Democratic Party's not happy with him for doing that. Biden has no clue, or perhaps he does, of what he actually is coming into America on the border, the southern border. I mean, this is all on him, Border Agents Union says. Failing communist regimes in Venezuela, they're bringing in... They're opening their prisons and sending them into the U.S. on the southern border, and Nicaragua and Cuba are also sending people in to the southern border, which, you know, sad thing, illegal border crossing topped 2 million for the first time in United States history under Biden. That's just what, you know, a president would probably want to be remembered for, right? Man, destroying America with illegal immigrants just pouring in to the country and being invited to do so. Wow. Well, Maine school board ordered to pay a school children's father, the father of some children in the school, $40,000 after blacklisting him from the school public meetings and other community activities for exposing obscene LGBT books that the school district has adopted. Yes, radical and obscene sex-related materials in the schools. Thank God he stood up. More people need to stand up and say, no, we're not going to allow those things to be taught to our children. So many years they say that they just sat back and thought school was like when they went to school. Well, it wasn't any picnic when they went to school, but they have no idea what's going in there now unless they investigate and find out what's being brought in and taught to their children. Well, this man did, and he stood up and said, no, he doesn't want that taught to his children. Illegal border crossing. Yeah, keep going on. And Governor Newsom of California launches an ad campaign in the pro-life states That's right. This is another bad area, the border and abortion. He launches an ad campaign in pro-life state using a scripture, perverting scripture, right, to promote abortions in California. So-called, he's a good Catholic, so-called Newsom, self-proclaimed good Catholic, is now using Bible scripture to encourage women to come to California and abort their baby. Twisting Bible scriptures is the accurate perception here. Meanwhile, in California, crimes continue to skyrocket and the cost of living is out of control and they can't even keep the lights on, says former Republican congressional candidate David Giglio. And the news, the states that are putting up billboards, that Newsom is putting up these billboards in, pro-life states, Texas, Indiana, Mississippi, Ohio, South Carolina, South Dakota, and Oklahoma. And the sign contains a quote from Mark 12:31, love your neighbors as yourself. For there is no greater commandment than these. Right, well, you're not loving your child by killing them, are you? And your child is your neighbor. If you're murdering your child, you're definitely not loving your neighbor or your child. Anyway, yeah, there's a perversion stuff that's going on in the world. It's just amazing. Progressive pastor, in other words, by progressive, you know what progressive means, those that are awoke and those that are woke and supposedly pro-gay and all of those things, says because Jesus was born of a virgin, that makes him non-binary. That's what this so-called pastor says. Oh, my. Mega church pastor also brags, another mega church, this is not the same pastor. Mega church pastor brags about how much he does for climate change while preaching in a huge 195,000 square foot building, air conditioned building. Greg Boyd, who pastors Woodland Hills Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, and of course, if he really believes in climate change and helping climate change, he really believes that, he should shut down his 195,000 square foot building and preach outside and not be using all that fuel and electricity to run his air conditioning system, huh? And the electricity to light his lighting and all that. MSNBC, an analyst, warns Biden and Pelosi that Latinos are walking away from the Democratic Party right now because of what they're trying to push on America, and they're not buying into it anymore. Yeah. And here we have American Red Cross under scrutiny after confessing it does not separate vaccinated blood from the unvaccinated blood. In other words, if you go get a vaccine, if you go get a blood transfusion, you need to get blood in some kind of situation, then you might be getting the vaccine even though you didn't take the vaccine, because they're not separating or, letting people know what blood is vaccinated and what blood isn't vaccinated. Yeah. They're not separating the vaccinated blood from the unvaccinated blood, in other words. So, what a mess. Yeah. But GOP says if they get the higher numbers in the House, they're going to immediately repeal the hiring of 87,000 IRS agents if Republicans flip the House in the elections in November. They vow, the House Minority Leader vows to do that, and he says our job is to work for you, not go after you. Well, Biden's going to go after everybody, supposedly. Well, 154 scientists at the Los Alamos nuke laboratory defected to China, and they were already Chinese agents. So, and they just went back to China with all the secrets they garnished from the nuke laboratory at Los Alamos. And so now they got all the information they wanted, and now they're taking it back to China and just, yeah, and they left. I wonder what all knowledge they're taking back, and secret information and private secrets of the country they're taking back to China. And you wonder why all that China is making looks like American stuff. Fighter planes and different things. Well, we gave them all the technology. Kamala Harris blamed President Trump for the surge in illegal immigration and illegal aliens coming in and a broken border. Oh, really? Isn't that like what everything they do? They blame their problems on the Republicans, and even though they created the problems, they want to blame somebody else. That's just amazing, isn't it? Well, anyway, folks, that's the news tonight. I had enough of that news stuff. I'm ready to move on into the good stuff, the God stuff, the things of the Lord. I mean, that's why I'm here anyway. And I hope that's why you're here mainly, is for the things of God. I mean, that's what's important. There's plenty of news places you can go, like I said, to get news. That's why I don't do much of it, but I do give you some things going on in the church and also in the world, in the states, but not too much, because that's not my priority. My priority is to preach the Word of God to you and teach the Word of God to you and give you the things of God and do some deliverance and get people free from the demonic realm. Amen? Praise God. I want to thank each of you for being here on the live program tonight, the live show and live service here on Friday nights. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you tuning in so that we can together open up the Word of God and be blessed with it tonight. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Lord bless you tonight. We appreciate you. And we're going to open up in prayer here before we get into the Word tonight. I'll just open up in prayer, ask God to bless you and bless the broadcast tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you and praise you and worship you and glorify you and give you all honor tonight and lift you up and magnify you, Lord Jesus. And Father God, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling in us, that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. We thank you for that presence within us, that power within us, that anointing within us, that glory that's in us, that is inhabiting your children today, that we are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that today. We thank you for the power in our lives, the fresh anointing to go and engage the enemy and prevail, because we have the authority, Father. You told us that the spirits are subject to us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that we win in the battle against the enemy. He will not prevail over the church. He will not prevail over the people of God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. And Father, we just thank you that you're not going to prevail in the families of those who listen to this program. Father, we thank you that these demons will not prevail against the families of the people of this program and the health of the people of this program and the finances of the people that listen to this program. We thank you for blessing the family with salvation and a hunger for God in their lives, Father. We thank you for blessing us in our health, Father, that you would heal our bodies in the name of Jesus, that by your stripes we're healed, that you bore every sickness and disease and infirmity. And we thank you for that, Father. And the Bible says that you forgive us all our iniquity, then heal all our diseases, Father. And we thank you for that tonight. And we thank you for blessing us financially, Father. As 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. We thank you for that tonight as well, Father, as we worship you now. And we praise you for every good and perfect gift that comes down from above and is laid into our lives as we receive them, Father. Thank you that, Lord, we'll use them to be a blessing, these gifts from above, Father, these things from above. And we thank you for them now in Jesus' name. We thank you for encouraging us today, leading us, and giving us a good word from heaven, Lord. And we just cover this broadcast with the blood of Jesus. We bind every wicked spirit that we all have faced throughout the week. And maybe they tried to get on people. We rebuke them off the bodies and the minds of all who listen to this program and participate in this service online here. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We rebuke these spirits right now in the name of Jesus. We cover each of us with the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We station the angels round about each of us in Jesus' name and declare the angel of the Lord encamp around about each one of us in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your fresh anointing here. In Jesus' name, Lord, we worship you and praise you, Lord. Worship you and honor you. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, praise the Lord. Here we go. The Far Country and the Pigs. That's the title tonight. The Far Country and the Pigs. So let's get into it right now because we realize that we are fighting on multiple fronts tonight. Spiritual warfare goes on. If you're going to get the victory, you're going to have to get engaged in some spiritual warfare. You're going to have to get involved in the good fight of faith because otherwise it's not going to be victory for you. We need to all realize that there are at least three battlefronts that we must fight on and deal with and face. And I'm going to give them to you as we start out tonight. I'm going to give you these three fronts that we're engaged with the enemy on and engaged through the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God with these three fronts. Just like the children of Israel, we have been a rebellious people coming and being brought out of a resisting nation, just like it was said about Israel. They were a rebellious people. We've been a rebellious people. In fact, people have been rebelling ever since Adam and Eve ate the fruit and sinned. Okay, and Jesus is bringing us out of one kingdom into his kingdom. We're being brought out of the world system, the world of darkness, into the kingdom of light and the world of light, God's kingdom. And that's where we're coming out of. And so there's a battle for us in the area of rebellion. There's a battle in coming out of the world. And that's an ongoing, even lifelong process as we come out of the world. And so that is a front that we are battling on. And then number two, satanic pressures. We all deal with and face satanic, well-aimed, fiery darts that are shot from the invisible realm to each of our lives. We face these satanic pressures, these satanic attacks, these fiery darts of the wicked one. And so we're battling on that front as well. And then our biggest challenge is the battle for our own self, our own life. I mean, you need to face and wrestle with your personal inconsistency, your personal self-centeredness and focus on yourself, which is what most everybody does. They're more focused on themselves than anybody else. Romans 7:18. Let's go read our first scripture tonight. 7:18, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." In other words, in my flesh, well, ain't no good thing. There's a personal battle that are going on. The biggest challenge is us and our personal battles with these no good things that dwell within us, these personal demonic things. Verse 23 also, it says here, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So we're battling not to be brought under the law of sin, but to stay under grace and not let the law of sin be a dominant force in our lives anymore. So each of you are engaged in a real struggle on three real battlefronts, and it's an ongoing battle, and it's real, it's intense. At times it is very painful, and yet victory is sweet when it comes. And to prevail in each of these areas, we're going to have to realize that Jesus wants more than just, "I surrender all," you know, "all to Jesus, I surrender all. Yeah, for victory, we're going to have to move beyond "I surrender" to "I abide," okay? I mean, "I surrender all" is okay, and And we can do that, but yielding is better than surrender, because I want to show you, we are Christ. He's our husband. We're his wife, not his hostages. You know, every groom wants his bride to eagerly desire him and not just surrender all to him. I mean, that's not much of a marriage when, well, I surrender to your husband or I surrender to your wife, right? A bride abides in the groom's house and possesses all that the groom has, whereas a hostage mentality leaves a person open that they'll get something, but they're unsure of themselves and their standing and their relationship to their captor. And too many Christians still think that God's main interest in them is what they could do for him, and that's not what he's interested at all in, okay? And not that he won't use you to do things, but they live as if God wants a butler or maid service to serve him. So what does God really want? I mean, he really wants, you know, sons and daughters who will love him, and a bride that love him so much that she is consumed with him. I mean, she learns to abide in him, sure. That's the thing. We have to learn to just abide in him, the one who loves us, the one who gave all for us. Isaiah 54:11 says, let's see, Isaiah 54:5, not 11, says, for thy maker is thy husband. Who's the maker? Who created mankind? Jesus did. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Lord God of whom of the whole earth shall he be called. Notice, it says, thy maker is thine husband. Thy maker is thine husband. I mean, see, this was the prodigal son's problem. He believed he was not accepted by his father. How many people believe that about their earthly father today? They don't believe they were accepted by their father. They believe that, you know, they had to surrender all to him, and they're hoping that, you know, they get some acceptance out of him, and they just work real hard to try to please that earthly father, but never felt like they could ever please him. Or maybe it's their husband. They felt like they surrendered to him and always worked to please him, but felt like they could never please him. See? I mean, this is a sad condition, see? He believed he wasn't accepted by his father. He rehearsed this speech that he hoped would get him accepted by his father. Let's go over to Luke 15. Luke 15. When he came back after being in the far country with the pigs, he came back at verse 18, which we'll read a few more of it and see back of the condition he was in. He came back and he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So here's what happened, though, before that. Prior, let's start at verse 13 here. It says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. He asked for his inheritance. Excuse me. He asked for his inheritance, and he journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, he'd been worn out. In other words, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the pig, to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, that the pigs ate, and no man gave unto him. In other words, he was starving. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So that's when he said, I will arise and will go unto him, Father, I've sinned, and say unto him, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And what happened, though? Well, see, this story is not just a lesson, though, on forgiveness. It's a lesson on acceptance. There's a young, rebellious son who thought he was unworthy of his father's acceptance because of his sinful behavior. Now, how many of us have had sinful behavior? Really, we've all been like this son. And his sense of unworthiness caused him to believe that he could never be a son and perhaps maybe even a servant. And yet this story clearly shows us that the Father had already forgiven him and was already and always ready to accept him. Verse 22 or 23. But the Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Haven't we been clothed with a robe of righteousness? Put a ring on his hand, authority, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the way that the Father treats his children. So we hear a lot about asking, even begging the Lord to forgive us when we sin. Yet the Bible clearly teaches that total forgiveness was given to us when we received Jesus. And that's what a lot of people don't get. When they're religious, they think, well, you know, yeah, God forgave me from all my past sins when I got saved, but that doesn't include the present sin. That doesn't include the future sin. But see, God has forgiven us for our sin nature. He's cleansed us from that. We are a new creature in Christ in our spirit, and the spirit cannot sin because the seed of God dwells in our spirit, the born-again part of us. See? See, our whole debt for a lifetime of sins, past, present, and future, was paid for in full. Jesus bore the sins of the whole world. See, not just the past sins of the whole world, but the past, present, and future sins of the whole world was paid in full when Jesus died on the cross. That's what a lot of religious people fail to realize. See, oh yeah, God forgive me for my past, but right now I'm probably going to hell. You know, I've had all these bad sins. I've done all these mistakes. I've had all these mistakes and failures and been rebellious and all this stuff, and probably I'm going to hell now. He don't want to forgive me and accept me now. Huh? Really? That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay? See, this all became effective in you when you turned yourself to him in faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, not by works, not by keeping the law. It doesn't say anything about that. It says the just shall live by faith. Okay? So I ask you this, was the prodigal son's father angry with him at any time? What do you think? You think he was angry at his son? You know, there's absolutely no evidence of that in the scripture, okay? In fact, is God ever angry with you? I'm talking about under the new covenant. I'm not talking about under the old covenant. There were times when they provoked God to anger. But see, now is a whole different story because Jesus came and made the sacrifice and bore our sins. He hadn't done that under the Old Testament. The blood of bulls and goats could never wash away sin, but they could. The blood of Jesus Christ could, but not the blood of bulls and goats. Never could. Okay? And see, we've had Jesus come. And Jesus washed us all of our sins away. See, so when Jesus sees us, what does he see? He sees the blood of Jesus. Says, listen, it says 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God's not appointed us to wrath. We're not going to ever suffer his anger, his wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also ye do. See, I mean, this should be a comfort to you. And we should comfort one another with this knowledge. That we've been accepted in Christ Jesus, accepted in the Beloved. In reality, if he were angry at you, he'd have to be angry at Jesus because we're in Christ Jesus. He that has joined the Lord is one spirit with the Lord Jesus, and Jesus ever maketh intercession for us. So if he is angry at you, he's angry at the Lord because we're in Christ, and we're clothed with the robe of righteousness now. He clothes us with his own robe of righteousness, with his own robe of righteousness, what he bought on the cross. He gave it as a gift. It's not something you could ever earn. So quit trying to earn your salvation and just receive your salvation. Receive the goodness of God. Receive the grace of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. That's right. We're accepted in the Beloved. That's what the Word of God says about us. So anything else is a lie, okay? Anything the devil says is a lie. Even though it sounds religious, it sounds like it ought to be true. You know, you sin so much that God is you're unacceptable to God and all this stuff that the devil says. And yet the Father wants us to see the foolishness of our behavior. He does. And come on home to him. But the Father never stopped accepting the Son, even though the prodigal felt that way. And you might feel that way at times too, that your father's not very accepting of you and that he wouldn't receive you. And he won't because of all your faults and all your failures. And that's exactly where the devil wants you to. So we see that if Satan can ever cause you to feel that God doesn't accept you because of your bad behavior, he can keep you in that far country for a long time, eating with the pig, if you can get anything to eat at all, right? And the demons and the unclean creatures, because the pig speaks of the unclean creatures, because pigs were unclean under the old covenant, right? They were unclean. And afraid to come home because of the fear of rejection. And a lot of people are. They sin and they do something wrong, and then they just have a hard time coming home because they feel like they're unacceptable to God, and they got to fix things and they got to earn their way back home. And that's not grace at all. That's law, and we're not under the law. We're under grace and truth, because the law came by Moses and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It says in John chapter 1. So what do you want to live at? You want to live in bondage under the law of sin and death, or you want to live in the perfect law of liberty, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Which one would you pick? I know I've already picked, but there's some of you still living under the law of sin and death. Maybe you choose it that way. Maybe you have a lot of those feelings. Maybe you feel like you're unacceptable to the Father. Maybe you feel like you've blown it too badly, and that there's always going to be a blockage in your life, a hindrance in your life because of all the failures in your life. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Is there a place for confession of sins in our lives? Well, yes, if that confession means that you're acknowledging the foolishness and stupidity of disobedience and sin to the Father, and praising him that we are already forgiven and accepted by him because of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, and because Jesus is and always has been faithful in his trip to the cross to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. That's right, unless we want to hold on to that foolishness and that garbage. Then, listen, if you're just not going to get out of agreement with that stuff will cause you to reap some demons and reap what you're sowing, because listen, you're not in the protective care because you're going over into the devil's territory. And if you ever feel unaccepted by God, then it's either your feelings or the devil telling you a lie. See? And so it will be hard to passionately love someone that you believe doesn't accept you, you know. And if you believe that Jesus doesn't accept you, then it's hard for you to really love the Lord. If you're going to believe those lies of the enemy, that he doesn't really love and accept you, then it's going to be hard for you to receive his love. It's going to be hard. You always be on kind of work your way back to him. Some people are working their way back to the Lord all their lives. They're trying to work their way back because they keep messing up and sinning and failing and not realizing that you're already accepted in the beloved. You're already clothed with the robe of righteousness. You're already can be boldly before the throne of grace in your times of need. You don't have to work your way to those places. You're already in those places. Okay? And you're not going to win on these three battlefronts if you feel that you're unaccepted. How do you think you can win? You won't be confident. You'll be, you know, always concerned that you're not able, or you're not accepted, you're not good enough, you know, something wrong with you. See, the prodigal didn't, as most Christians today, understand his identity. And that's the most important you understand, is your identity in Christ. You need to know who you are. He was the Father's son, and yet he thought he was unworthy. That's right. He thought he was unworthy of a deep, true relationship with his Father. And that's the way a lot of Christians are thinking today, too. They're thinking they're unworthy of a deep relationship with their Father. They're thinking that they're so messed up. They got so much wrong in their lives, so many faults and failures and difficulties and past problems and present problems. And yeah, he saw himself as a bad person, the prodigal did, who could only surrender and hope to be a servant, a slave even, in his Father's house. And this attitude is so common today. And that's why people are losing on the three battlefronts. They may know they've been forgiven, but they still see themselves as bad people who need to prove to God how sorry they are for their many sins by working harder and harder for him and begging to be accepted. We don't have to beg. We're not beggars. A lot of people, you know, see themselves as just a beggar, you know, one poor beggar trying to help another poor beggar. I've heard that one before, haven't you? Well, I'm not a beggar. How do you be a beggar when you've got all the Father, all that the Son has, he's given to us. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus has, we have. Is that a beggar? Jesus has all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, wait a minute. All the Mercedes on 1,000 hills. Whatever. You know, make it for your own time, right? Our own time that we live in. Our cattle is pretty valuable, too. So, yeah. Don't go groveling before God, promising, oh, God, I'll do better next time if you just forgive me this time. Well, that's foolishness. He's already forgiven you. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, it says in 1 John, and all unrighteousness, too. So, I mean, really? What are you doing? Groveling before God, making promises that you can't keep. Really, just receive his goodness, receive his grace, receive his forgiveness, receive the blood of Jesus. Don't just go groveling. You know, they've forgotten their identity, or maybe they never understood their identity. They are sons and daughters, kings and priests. Nothing could change that. The prodigal was his son before he went to the far country, too, and groveled around with the pigs out there. The demons, and he was his son while he was there sinning, and he was his son when he came home. Nothing changes sonship. The son forgot who he was, but the father never forgot for a moment. And once you're a son, you know, you're a son. Although you could, you know, give up your own, disown your father, disown the Holy Spirit, and give up your salvation if you chose to. I mean, you have that legal right to give up your salvation, but man, you'd be some kind of a fool to do that, right? You could choose to stay in the far country, yeah, and never come home. That's right. You would then give up your salvation and not be saved anymore. I don't believe in once saved, always saved, although I do believe in once saved, always saved for the believer. Right? I mean, there's nothing can take your salvation away. And if you think that, I hear them say, oh, yeah, you can fall away. No, you can give it up. Yeah. And there will be a falling away, a giving up, an apostatizing of Christians that will give up their faith. There will be that. The Bible speaks of that in the last days, that people will do that, just like a dog returning to a vomit and the pig that was washed returned to its wallowing in the mire. There are people who will give it up. There will be people who don't want to be saved anymore, which is, you know, deception by the enemy. But they choose it, and they get an agreement as an act of their will with the lies of the devil, and they choose to give up their salvation. There are people who will do that. But I'm not talking about people who give up their salvation. I'm talking about sons and daughters of the living God. See? Listen, do you think your sins as a son or daughter of God surprised God? No, he knows you. Even Jesus said he knew man. He knew what was in him. He knew him. You know, nothing you do is going to surprise an omnipotent God. Nothing's going to surprise him. Listen, God isn't ever disappointed with you because he already knows how we're going to respond in every situation. I mean, he knows the end from the beginning already. You know, this is mind-blowing, but these are the truths that are true. He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, right? And so he knows. And we're free to choose to sin or not to sin, to make foolish or wise choices in life, or not to make foolish choices. Or make wise choices. We have a choice, and yet none of them change our identity. If we're born again and child of God, then it's not going to change your identity because you go and make a foolish choice and sin. God doesn't reject you. He still receives you. If you just turn from that sin, you just cover that sin with the blood of Jesus, confess it if necessary, confess that sin and let the blood of Jesus cleanse it away and all unrighteousness be gone. and keep on walking the walk. I mean, even if you sin 70 times 7 in a day, right? Even if you, you know, if your brother sins against you 70 times 7, what does the Bible say? You forgive him, or you think that the Father is going to forgive you way more than that? He's already forgiven you more than that, right? More than you ever will sin, he's already forgiven. Yeah, because there's no time with God. He's not dwelling in time and the confinement of time that we live in. Yeah, we all see things in that realm, but hey, God's way beyond that. Hallelujah. So to abide is to know your identity as a son or daughter and a bride, that he is your husband, as we read in Isaiah. And if you do, you can prevail on the three fronts: the world, Satan, with its many lies and deception, will continue their attempts to pull you away from Father. Even your own carnal mind is at war with the truth. Oh, yeah. Oh, you'd be better off in a far country with the pigs. Lies, of course, but hey, you know, unless you're discerning, unless you're casting down all your vain imagination, you will buy into the lies. And many Christians do. They buy into the lies. And they get bound up by the lies. Listen to me, folks. You know, there are many far countries, and they all have their pigs. They all have their demons, folks. And people get used to living with the pigs, and yet they've been deceived by the pigs, by the demons. And so therefore, they get used to it. And they bought into the pig mentality, the lies. So many people, I should have named the title, the pig mentality, really. The lies that there's too much wrong with them, or they have too many demons. See, the devil don't want a person to see the simple truths of God's word, such as you are now accepted in the Beloved in Jesus, and the Father doesn't look upon your sins and iniquities anymore, and the sins are moved as far as the east is from the west, and he sees the blood of Jesus on you, with which he has Jesus cleansed you from all sin and all unrighteousness. I mean, many Christians separate themselves with the help of demons, of course. That's right. How many Christians today you think live in a measure of separation all their life? I mean, most of the time. Occasionally they have moments, but all their life they're living in a measure of separation. They just feel separated. They feel that they're really not able to be too close to God. They feel like they're really not fully accepted by God. They feel like they're just kind of far away from God. I mean, some small or even large level of self-imagined separation from God. That's what most Christians live with. Perhaps it's a performance separation. I just have to do more for you, Lord. Then I know I'll be more pleasing to you. No, that's a wrong thinking. Or it's a fear thing, afraid that I'm not good enough for you, God. I'm just not good enough. I'm just a wretch. Oh, you were a wretch, but you're not a wretch now. Yeah, you were a sinner, but you're not a sinner now. You may sin, but that doesn't make you a sinner, right? Just because you eat dog food doesn't make you a dog, right? Come on, folks. This is simple stuff, but it's also major stuff. So many faults, so many failures, so many demons. Will he even let me into his eternal kingdom with all my problems? With all my faults, with all my sin, my failure. See, it is so common for Christians to feel unacceptable to the Father. Notice, feel, though. Notice that feel. Ah, so, yes, uh-huh. Do we live by the feelings or do we live by faith? See, yeah, you feel like you're so awful. You feel like you have too many sins and too many demons. But wait a minute. The just shall live by what? Their feelings or by the faith? Faith says we're acceptable because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Feelings, of which are very easily influenced by demons, by the way, who say you are unacceptable. That's what the feelings are. They tell you you're unacceptable. You're not going to be accepted by the Lord. You can't be. Look at your life. Look at your mess you are. Yeah, we're all a mess. Without Jesus, we're just a mess. We're a hopeless mess. But with Jesus, we're not hopeless. There's nothing hopeless about the situation at all. And the just shall live by faith. Who? Who's it talking about? The just. the justified, the righteous, those who have been forgiven, those who have the blood of Jesus, come home to the Father. Get out of that far country of feelings. That is a wrong place to live. When you live by your feelings, you're going to be snared by the evil one. He's going to trap you when you live by feeling. That feeling of unacceptability, unworthiness, rejected, afar off, unforgiven, unworthy, just a slave. What does God want out of me? Oh, my, I've got to do more. I've got to try harder. I've got to live better. Yeah, I got to fix this, fix that. No, no, no. Living with the pigs and eating with the pigs is not the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, folks. Not. It's not living as a son and a daughter of God, a king and a priest of God. Listen, you need to quit listening to the voices of the fire country and the pigs. You need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, folks. Hear the still, small voice, not the loud, condemnatory voices of demons. The loud voices of fear and condemnation. Oh, my, the voice of fear is so loud. Oh, there's going to be a nuclear war. I might die. Oh, well, to die is gain, is what Paul said. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What is this fear of death? The Bible says that death has lost its sting because of Jesus going to the cross for the believer. Yeah, death has lost its sting. The sting of death is gone. It's not there anymore. Oh, have you died? Do you know that? No, I haven't died, but I know what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is true, and I receive it by faith. What the Word says is true, is absolutely true, and nothing changes that. So who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the voices of spirits of rejection? Oh, you're not acceptable. You got too much wrong with you. You've done too many wrong things. You said too many wrong things. Why, look what you just said this week. Look what you just said today. I mean, oh, yeah. The voices of spirit, the voices of the spirits of rejection. Realize there are many voices that have been following you all your life. And some of them you're just so used to, you just think it's just normal. But it's not normal. It's the voices of the pigs. It's the voices trying to bring you into a far country. It's the voices that have talked to you all your life in your mind, and you just thought that's normal. That's not normal. You need to recognize there are things that are not normal because they don't line up with the Word of God. They don't line up with the Word of God. Where do you think they're coming from? Absolutely not coming from Him. They're coming from your own mind. They're coming from a stronghold. They're coming from an attachment. They're coming from a no good thing that dwells in your flesh. They're coming from some evil, evil source that kind of keep you in bondage to the ways that you've been all your life because you've been living with yourself all your life and have been accepting of things that were not God because they don't line up with God and they're not ever going to line up with God. So it's best that you just get rid of them rather than to keep on entertaining them and letting them speak to you in your mind any longer. So there are many, many voices that follow people all their lifetime. They get comfortable with them, and you hear some of them daily or very often, and they're not Jesus. They're not the Holy Spirit. You need discernment of spirit. Discernment is the key at this time that we live in, and every time. We have to have discernment of spirits. Do they line up with your New Testament, New Covenant relationship with the Lord? If not, then you need to purge yourself of these wrong voices. They're there to get you to the fire country. They get you into living with the pigs again and keep you living with the pigs that you've been living with since you were born. Inherited spirits. That's right. They might be law-keeping spirits, not new covenant spirits. Something from the Old Testament trying to get on you and make you think it's God. Okay? Something from the Old Covenant. We're not under the old covenant. Jesus came to bring us a better covenant, see? And so, yes, there needs to be a purging in your life. You don't want to stay in the far country. Discern what voices you're listening to in your mind. Recognize them. And if they're toxic, then you need to remove them in Jesus' name. You need to cast them out in Jesus' name. Satan will also try to get you discouraged and overloaded. Oh, yeah, try to get you down with discouragement. How many know there's a lot of Christians that suffer from discouragement? And we need to realize that the discouragement is a demonic spirit, folks. It's often been said that you can tell how steadfast a Christian is by how much it takes for him to get discouraged. Let me just say it like this, like it is today. One of Satan's most effective weapons against a Christian is discouragement. A discouraged Christian is a defeated Christian, and a defeated Christian will spread their discouragement to others. Amen? Well, what is the Word of God saying to us today? Psalm 27:14. He'll tell you something right now. That's right, 27:14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's right. He would have fainted with discouragement. He was down. He was lamenting that they'd lost their families and their possessions, that the enemy came into their camp while they were gone and took all their children, their wives. Huh? Yeah. And their possessions. And David would have fainted lest he believed to see the goodness of the Lord. What do you need to do when you're starting to faint, when you start to get discouraged? You need to believe. You need to refresh yourself in the Lord. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to let your faith be lifted up. You need to stand stronger and start worshiping God. Yeah. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Are you of good courage today? What does it say in verse 14? It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So what's the word for you? Be of good courage. Yeah, you be of good courage. And the only good courage is God courage. Courage in and of God. That's right. Don't be like the man over in the Philippines in this story, the Carabao driver was on his way to market when he overtook an old man carrying a heavy, heavy load on his back. A man, he having compassion on this man, the driver invited the old man to ride in the wagon and unload his load. And gratefully, the man accepted. But after a few minutes, the driver turned around to see how the old man was doing. And to the surprise of the driver, he saw the old man sitting in the wagon, but still straining with that heavy load on his back, for he had not taken the burden off of his shoulders. He's still carrying the heavy load. He may not have been walking, but he was still trying to carry that load. And isn't that the way a lot of Christians are doing it today? You're in the Lord's wagon, but you're sitting there in the far country with that load on your back. The load is heavy on you, and you're carrying the load, and you're getting discouraged, and you're letting that discouragement minister to you, which is a demon. Yeah, instead of placing your burden on the Lord which means that you finally experience rest and relief. You cast your cares on him, for he cares for you, because you're not carrying it anymore. You've given it to him. When you cast something away from you, you're not carrying it anymore. You stop picking that back up. You stop picking those cares, that heavy burden back up. You know, what are you doing? This is what we've done. Many of us have done it. Yeah. Then finally, experience rest and relief from the burden when you really cast it on the Lord. And when you really give what's getting to you or discouraging you to God, you will emerge from your confusion with peace. Even though you might not learn the reason why you face that problem, you will have peace and you will have rest. And that's what God called us to, is peace and rest. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Right? And I have a peace that passes understanding of it. And maybe today you're facing a discouragement. Maybe right now you're facing grief and a sorrow. You know, grief and sorrow. Some people live perpetually in a grief and a sorrow. Perhaps people haven't, you know, done what you hoped, and your job isn't the way you'd like, or the money isn't there as you'd like it to be, or you face ongoing physical problem in your body, something wrong with your body, or maybe a loss of a husband, a wife, a loved one, a family member. You know, when people lose their husband or their wives, a lot of them, you notice they die not too long after the mate died. As you know, when Lester Sumrall, he lost his wife, and a minister said if he doesn't learn to come back from this, you know, setback in his life of losing his precious wife, if he doesn't learn to come back, he'll be dead in 3 years. And sure enough, within 3 years, Lester Sumrall died. And you see that happen with so many. When their wives die, the men go follow suit and die too because they don't know how to come back from their loss. And listen, whether it be a loss of a job, or it be loss of a loved one, a marriage relationship, a love relationship, a child relationship, or something, if you lose something, if you don't come back, bounce back from it, if you don't come back from it, it's going to get you. That's right. I remember when I lost my mother. I mean, it was a tragic situation. I didn't know she was going to die. And so, you know, I was told by phone to hurry up, get back to the town that she was in. I was out of town, and to hurry, get back. She was in the hospital. I needed to get back there. And so I took off on the interstate. I had, about 200 or 300 miles to go, and my car started messing up and dying. And it just went over, and I was beside the road. It wouldn't go. Finally, I got it to go on at a snail's pace, running along side the road, and I got a phone call, your mom died. And it was tragic. I couldn't get back. I didn't get back. I would have been back in plenty of time if my car hadn't died out and broken down on the side of the road, on the side of the interstate. Cop come by and offered to give me a ride. I said, well, can't just leave a car on the road, that, you know, and I'll just keep on getting over there. But then, you know, the call, I believe it already come at that point. So, but they said they'd leave her body in the hospital till I got there so I could say my goodbyes. But I knew her spirit's already gone to be with the Lord because I knew she was born again. But it was just, I was crying, you know, because it was tough to not be able to be by her side when she passed. And I was on my way, and I could have made it in time if my car hadn't messed up, see? So I don't know. I could have stayed stuck there, you know, and a lot of people would, you know. They love their mom, and I've known people who lost their mom or their dad or their parents, and they couldn't get past the loss. You know, they couldn't get bounced back from it. They couldn't come back from it. And years went by. Years went by, and they still didn't come back. They still didn't come back, and their whole life was sabotaged. Their whole life was in a place of, you know, being stuck. Yeah. So I want to just tell you, you gotta come back from losses in life, because there are going to be some losses in life. Everybody suffers some kind of loss, a loss of a job, a loss of a loved one. So many people suffering still losses of loved ones right now. People who took the jab are dying. Lots of them are dying. Myocarditis, heart trouble, circulation problems, all kinds of different, you know, side effects from that vaccine. People are dying right and left. But you can't stay there. You know, David didn't stay where he was that day when his own men talked of stoning him, and he said, well, I'd have fainted unless I believed. You know, and he said, "The Lord, wait on the Lord, be of good courage," right? And so I want to give you a key. I mean, some keys here to, I want to give you some important keys to rest and peace and victory and freedom in Christ and moving on in Christ, Acts 28:15. So we all need to take courage. We all need to be encouraged. And I'm going to tell you how that you could be encouraged. Acts 28:15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. See, there's your two keys here. I want to see that. Realize courage is there for the taking. What did Paul do? He could have just left it right there. He didn't have to take it, but he took courage. He thanked God and took courage. These are two important keys here. Courage is for the taking. You have to take courage, or you can stay discouraged. If you could stay in despair, you could stay in disappointment, you could stay stuck in the far country, you could stay stuck in a pig pen of discouragement. And of not moving ahead and not bouncing back from your difficult situation, which everybody has them. Everybody faces a difficult situation in life at times. We've all done that. Okay? And see, courage is that hope to go on. Courage is that hope to move on out of this stuff. That work, you know, that trust in God that somehow things will work out if we'll just trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Courage is the opposite of discouragement. And the key is to take courage. Paul took courage. He thanked the Lord and took courage. Remember David, when his men were talking to stone him and the enemy had taken their wives, their families and stuff, David took courage. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, I can't count the times that I simply had to stop all my efforts. Yeah, all my things and shut down my mind, run to God and take courage. If I hadn't have, discouragement would have set in. Demons of discouragement would have had their way and their temptation and devastated me. But I took courage. You can take courage too, or you can take discouragement. You have a choice. You have a choice. 1 Chronicles 15. Everybody has a choice. You could take courage or you could take discouragement when these times come, and they come, you know, often time to some and less often to others, but nevertheless they come to all times of attack where you have a choice to make. In 1 Chronicles 15:8, it says, of the sons of Elizaphan, Shemna, the chief and his brethren, oh, I'm sorry, I meant 2 Chronicles 15:8. What am I reading? There we go. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. There it is. He took courage and put away the abominable idols and out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So he went to the altar and renewed the altar. We need to renew our place with God. We need to renew our standing with God. We need to take courage and renew our strength with the Lord. Renew that altar before the Lord. Take courage. Take courage, saints. You have the choice. By taking courage, you bind up demons, even paralyzed. And when you take courage instead of discouragement, you are binding those demons up. Discouragement will allow things to remain the same. Taking courage allows the supernatural power of God to begin to take place in a person's life and in a person's situation. When we take courage and are encouraged, the people of God become bold to do exploits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look over here at Judges, Joshua Judges here. Judges chapter 20. Go to Judges chapter 20. Here we see Israel had just been defeated. Let's look at it. Judges 20:20-22. It says, and the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day. 22,000 men died. And the people and the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. They went back. They encouraged themselves, see? And they set the battle again. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle with the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel. Again, 18,000 men, all these that drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel, all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. But what happened? Israel just been defeated twice, loved ones killed. There was every reason to be discouraged. But what did they do? They took courage. They encouraged themselves. And because of it, they went back into battle again in verse 34 and 35, and they had the victory. Let's read it. And there came against Gibeon 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and the battle was sore. But they knew not that the evil was near them. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,100 men, all these that drew the sword. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were smitten. For the men of Israel gave place to the Benjamin. Edomites, because they trusted unto the liers in wait which had been set beside Gibeah. And the liers in wait hasted and rushed upon Gibeah, and the liers in wait drew themselves along and smote all the city with the edge of the sword. So they got defeated. Hallelujah. But what did they do? They took courage. And because of it, they went back into battle and they were victorious. You need to take courage, saints. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you face. I don't know the loss that you've had. But I'm telling you, whatever it has been, you need to take courage, not discourage. Not take discouragement, because if you're taking courage, you're taking it from the Lord. If you're taking discouragement, you're taking it from the devil, and you don't want what the devil has, do you? There's no victory in giving place to the devil. That's right. There's no victory in giving place to discouragement, which is basically giving place to the devil. The victory comes in taking courage and thanking the Lord, as Paul did. He took courage. He thanked the Lord. Number one, he thanked the Lord. Number two, he took courage. Number three is the key is the eternal will change the temporary. The eternal will change the temporary. We've got to start looking at the eternal. We got to quit looking at the temporal. You know, we get so caught up in the life and death and losses of life. You know, everything in this world dies. Nothing lives forever in this world. System of darkness. See? So, you know, people lose a pet and it devastates them. People lose a loved one, it devastates them. They don't know how to bounce back. They don't know, and some of them stay stuck. So someone loses a spouse, and it devastates them. They can't bounce back, and they end up dying. 1 Peter 1:19. We've got to realize the eternal will change the temporary. We got to put our focus where the eternal is. Once we thank God, once we take courage, then we need to put our eyes on the heavenly realm. We need to put ourselves in the place of the eternal realm. Because we know that the supernatural will change the natural. So we got to have that knowledge. We'll have that spiritual knowledge and know it and believe it. Because the just shall live by faith, not by discouragement, not by the pigs, not by the far country. No, no. We're going to be in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the supernatural manifestations of the power of God. 2 Peter 1:19-20. One, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. How many want the day to dawn and the day star to arise in your heart instead of that discouragement being in there? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, this word is a sure word of prophecy. The word of God is sure and solid and true. Amen. Some of you have forgotten this, folks. Circumstances can never change the promises of God, but the promises of God can change the circumstances. We got to remember that. Circumstances can never change the promises of God, but the promises of God can change the circumstances. So when are you going to get in there and start receiving the promises of God by faith? The just shall fight the good fight of faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall, having done all, stand in faith, believing, right? And you shall speak to that mountain will be picked up and cast into the sea, that mountain of death, that mountain of loss, that mountain of discouragement. Whatever that mountain is, you can speak it to that mountain, speak to that demon. Tell them to come out in Jesus' name. Get out of the way in Jesus' name. Your financial problem, speak to that financial problem. Put your hand on your wallet, your purse, whatever, your checkbook. Start speaking to that problem. See, your sickness, start speaking to your body. Start speaking to that depression. Start speaking to that discouragement. It's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. We have a more sure word of prophecy, a more sure word than that problem, a more sure word than that loss, a more sure word than that death of a loved one, a more sure word than that financial situation, that sickness situation, a more sure word we have. Amen. So what are we going to do? Are we going to believe a sure word or a lying word? Which one are we going to do? We're going to ever bounce back from that setback in your life, the bouncing back from all the setbacks of darkness and the setbacks of evil and the setbacks of loss, the setbacks of hurt and pain? Are you going to bounce back from that, or are you going to stay down? A lot of people are staying down today. You're not coming back. And you got to come back. How are you going to have a comeback? You're going to have a comeback by thanking God and taking courage and looking for the supernatural manifestation of God in the situation. And it's going to come back. Amen. You're going to come back. You're going to come out of that. You don't have to stay in that financial problem. You don't have to stay in that sickness. You don't have to stay in your loss, your discouragement, your depression, your far country. Oh, we have a more sure word of prophecy, folks. God said heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never change. His word is never going to change, folks. His word is never going to change. You may not have had a vision or hear God speak audibly, but there is one thing that all believers have. That is his unchanging, more sure word of prophecy, his unchanging word, a more sure word. It's more sure than all the world, what world has to say about anything. So if you've been believing the voice of the world over the word, then no wonder you're in the problem you're in. No wonder you're stuck and you're not moving forward. No wonder you're in a situation of death and a situation of discouragement, a situation of this depression. Yeah, the Bible needs to become and always be our final authority. It's a more sure word, see? And if what we see with our eyes and what we feel with our body contradicts God's word, then it's a lie. If it contradicts God's word, it's a lie. If the things in our body, we feel in our body, they contradict God's word, then it's a lie. We should go with the word every time. Every time we've got to go with the word. And we got to hold on to that word when it seems like everything else is going the wrong way. Seems like everything else is turning out the bad way. It seems like everything else is coming against us. And yet we just hold on to the more sure word than all those words of whatever the lawyer says, whatever the doctor says, whatever so-and-so said, or whatever happened to so-and-so, whatever happened to you. That's right. Psalms 138:2. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. He has magnified his word above his name. And in the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. In other words, supernatural manifestation of a strength of God. Hallelujah. Supernatural manifestation of the supernatural. He strengthened me when I cried, and the day when I cried, he answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Amen. Amen. Great is the glory of the Lord. Great is the glory of the Lord. Yeah, look at verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet he has respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off, remember? Yeah, the proud. I don't want to walk in that fleshly pride. Amen. What does it say in verse 7? It said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. You're not going to stay stuck down in that low place. No, no. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. You know what? We're the works of his own hand. We've been born again. He come and made us. Hallelujah, with his own hand. Folks, to defeat the enemy of discouragement, choose the word over your own eyes, your ears, your smell, your thoughts, your five senses, your feelings. Don't trust them. Trust the word. Don't trust in what the lies of the devil said. This world system is full of lies, and they lie all the time. You know, doctors lie. You know, they just tell you the worst, the worst, the worst. It's going to be this, going to be that. Well, what does the great physician have to say? What does Jesus have to say? You know, they're all temporary, but the word of God abides forever. You know, don't exalt the word of the unsaved. Don't exalt the word of somebody that only can think in the natural. Let's exalt the word of the Lord, which is far beyond the natural realm. It has the ability to go way beyond the natural realm and bring to pass things that eye has not seen nor ear heard. Hallelujah. What the Lord has prepared for them that love him, right? What the Lord will do in our lives. Hey, anything can happen. Anything can happen when we start trusting in the maker. The creator. Amen. So don't trust them. Trust the word. Yeah, the word of God abides forever. Take the word of God and believe it over your temporary problem. I don't know what your problem is, but hey, take the word of God and believe it over your problem, over the setback in your life, over the loss in your life. Yeah, over the pigs in your life. Listen, the eternal will change the temporary. That's right. Those demons are not forever. Get that in you. Okay, a semi-truck flipped over on a Canadian highway one time, and traffic would back way up while the firefighters spread peat moss to soak up the spilled diesel fuel. Well, a brief torrential rainfall, you know, was had most of, and it was caused most of that peat moss. It went away by the rain, right? So they called for more. And so they were waiting, caught up in a moment. Nobody noticed that the cargo in the overturned trailer was peat moss in the back of that truck. The solution to the problem was right in front of the firefighter, but see, they didn't realize it. See? And so it is in our lives. See, the solution lies in the Word of God, right in front of it, gathering dust on your counter, right? The solution is right there, but many times we are caught up in the moment in the dramas of life and the losses of life or the troubles of life, and we have failed to see it. Or we don't want to see it because we're so caught up in the drama, so caught up in all the tragedies and all the difficulties and what the devil's doing. We got our eyes on the wrong thing, see? But it's right there in front of them, just like it was in front of these firefighters. If they'd have just opened up the back of the truck, if you just open up the Word of God, see, you'd see the solution to the problems right there all along, right there all along. Hallelujah. The Word of God would never fail you. It is true and faithful. It'll stand steadfast in the midst of all kinds of garbage. And listen, we're facing the end of this world system as we have known it. But the Word of God will stand faithful and true through all. Jesus will be with us no matter what, no matter what it is. So go to it and take courage. Go to Jesus and take courage. Turn the TV off and go take courage. Turn off the drama and go take courage. You know, turn off all the loss and stuff of your life and, you know, take courage. I guarantee you it's there for the taking. You just have to take it. Just have to encourage yourself in the Lord. It's time to take time to encourage yourself in the Lord. It's time to put yourself in a position where you're going to partake of the supernatural, thank God, and take courage. Not discouraging, not more despair, not more discouragement. No, take courage. David took it. Paul took it. You can too. Discouragement is a common demon, folks, and it takes many Christians down. Oh, yeah, down its empty path, because it's just a never-ending path. If you go start going down it, it just goes and goes and goes and take you deeper into bondage and despair. Right? Don't go there. Take some courage today. Listen, you're going to make it, saints. I'm going to make it. God's people are going to make it. God's church is going to make it. In spite of all the troubles we see in this world, all the things that go on, all that would come against the righteous, we're going to make it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus covers us, and it covers our sins so we can stand boldly before our God and receive the supernatural manifestations of God in our life. Start calling it down from heaven. Start calling down the supernatural manifestations of God into your life. Start calling change into your life. Start taking change and calling change into your life. Start living with change instead of living with the same old stuff that you've lived with and put up with all your life. Don't put up with it anymore. Don't let it just have the dominance in your life. Okay? Amen. Amen. All the bad going on. Oh, my, my. What are we going to do? See, the true church is going to prevail, though. And you and I are part of that true church, that true group of believers that is called the Church of the Living God today. Amen. Amen. That is true. That's the truth of the Word of God, folks. Amen. You know, God's given you the fivefold ministry to encourage you, and to, which is pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, pastors, I mean, all those five things that God has given to the church, apostles, yeah, so that they can encourage the church. And not all of them are doing their job, okay? I mean, a lot of churches in the United States are operating unscripturally, and because of that, a lot of problems that go on. A lot of demons that invade. But, you know, not all of them are doing that, okay? God, not all of the churches are teaching unscriptural stuff. Not all churches are off. I mean, there's a lot of good pastors out there, godly pastors. I mean, none good but God, but you know what I mean. There are men of God and women of God that are you know, doing the work of various ministries throughout the churches of America and wherever, on the streets, wherever they minister. And so, hey, let's hook up with the real, with the truth, and take courage. I want you to take courage tonight. I want to bring all that stuff to the Lord right now. That stuff of loss in your life, just give it to the Lord. That sickness, that problem, what the doctor told you, what somebody else told you, this financial situation. I know some lady's supposed to get her an inheritance, but they got the inheritance stolen by somebody else in the family, and they're trying to get it. The enemy wants to wear them down with that. But we just thank God that he's going to work that out. He's going to get what belongs to this person and not let this other relative who's already a millionaire, you know, take what this person, you know, was supposed to get when their loved one died. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things. People can't get along with their brothers and sisters. People can't get along with their mates. You know, people lose loved ones. People facing setbacks. They lose jobs. They don't have enough. Lose their house to the finance company. I mean, all kinds of different things that people are facing in life. But I'm telling you, Jesus has answers. Jesus has. You've got to run to the Word. You've got to give thanks. Even in this situation, give thanks. Paul gave thanks and took courage. And then he looked into the supernatural. See? It's that simple. I know people don't want to hear all this in today's society. Why? Because, you know, they just rather suffer. They'd rather be rebellious. You know, people don't want to be told this stuff, but, you know, it's unprofitable for you not to listen, right? It's unprofitable for you not to walk in the things of God. It's unprofitable for you not to love the Word of God and obey the Word of God and to follow Jesus with all your heart. It's unprofitable, folks, for your life. I mean, you don't want to stay in the condition that demons prepare. You don't want to live with the pigs, okay? We want to live with in the heavenly realm. We want to live in the kingdom in this hour. We need it more than ever. We need it more than ever. Okay? And so you're going to make it, saints. Let's just cast the things on the Lord right now. Just want to give them to Jesus. Take courage tonight. Take courage tonight. We'll get the demons out in a few minutes here. We can cast out demons. But right now, you're going to take courage. You're going to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Start thanking him. And then take courage right now. Just receive it. Just say, I receive courage in my life. I receive encouragement in Jesus' name. I receive your courage, Lord. I receive your encouragement. I receive the ministering of the Holy Spirit right now. Just receive it. Receive it. Receive it right now. Just start receiving it and then say, I'm looking, Lord, for the supernatural. I'm looking for the ministering of the Spirit right now. Right now. I'm looking unto your word, Lord. Your word is true. Your word has the answer to everything in my life. Only in your word. Only in your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tonight, Lord, we praise you, Lord, that we could just take courage tonight. Grab a hold of it and take it. Not just look at it. Take it, Lord. We take it. We grab hold of courage tonight. Just that David encouraged himself and took that courage, encouraged himself in the Lord when everything was going well. And he went back and got back all that the enemy had stolen from him, his wives, his children, and everybody else's wives and children and their stuff too. God will get your stuff back too that the devil has stolen. You know, if the thief be found, let him restore 100-fold, right? You get back what the thief has stolen all your life. Have you been praying that prayer? You get back all that the devil has stolen from you? All your life, take back what the thief or the robber has stolen in Jesus' name. Is it about time you start plundering the enemy's camp, taking back what's yours, taking back what's been stolen from you, all those missed opportunities that he stole from you, all those different times of blessing that you could have been blessed, but the devil come in and robbed you of the blessing? Hey, yeah. And I've been praying that prayer for now, and I've been seeing for a while now, and I've been seeing all kinds of things come back that have been stolen over the years. Yeah, I remember we invested some inheritance money, what we had, and we lost all of it to this so-called Christian who was saying that you're going to get this big big return. You know, if you invest your money, we'll make it come back, you know, 5 times what you invest or 10 times, I forget. But, yeah, it was all a scam. And he was had this Christian broadcast, and it was on the radio for a long time and promoting this, and thought he was all right. And one of the, you know, faithful Christian and all that, it ended up it was all a scam, and he got arrested. And, yeah, and, they managed to get some of the money back, but they couldn't find most of the money. Most of the money, you know, 90-some percent of the money was never found. I don't know what they ever did with it, the people that were involved in it, and they hid it away somewhere, and the Fed never found the money. So we lost all that money, but you know what? We didn't stay there. We didn't stay there. We kept moving on, you know. Yeah, we're not going to let it stop us. We had all kinds of problems in churches over the years, but we didn't stay there. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for just bringing people out of these difficulties, Lord. Bringing them out and letting them take courage tonight. Letting them take courage tonight and move ahead in Jesus, Lord. Grab a hold of the supernatural. Grab a hold of the word of God. Grab a hold of praise and worship and not let go. Not let go. Thank you, Jesus. We're never going to let go because you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord, even until the end of this age. It said even until your hoar hair. That means even until you got all white hair. Even to the day when you don't have any color left in your hair, right? And you're an old person, woman or man, whatever. He said he's not going to leave you even to your hoar hair. Not going to leave you. Never going to leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you in your old age, right? That's what he said in more than one place in the Word of God. So don't think, oh, well, just because you get older, he's going to leave you. No, that's not the case. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to not be there for you. He's always there for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're with us ever, forever. And then we're going to just leave this place and go be with you in the fullness of your glory, in the fullness of your presence. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for that, Father. And we give you all the praise and glory, Lord. Right now, we thank you for this word tonight. We pray that you'll just use it for your glory and you'll be glorified in it. However many times people play it or listen to it, we thank you in Jesus' name. Bless our time and deliverance here tonight that we're going to do. Father, we pray you deliver people, minister to them, encourage them with some deliverance tonight as well. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen, amen. All right, let's go ahead and have a little intermission here. We'll come back and go ahead and cast out some demons for a while. Okay, let's do some of that tonight. If you're ready for that, I believe that I'm ready. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's do it. Praise God. Appreciate y'all listening tonight. Amen. Ah, hallelujah. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. Good to be here with you as well on this Friday night service that we're having here. Because really, it's just like being in church, except we don't see each other's faces, but we sure have the message tonight. And so let's do a little bit of ministry now, too, as well. Even though you've already been ministered to by the word, we're going to minister to you with some deliverance tonight. So we come against a spirit of loss. What have you lost lately? What have you lost in life? A marriage? A wife? A husband? A child? What's the spirit of loss, the spirit of grieving, whatever it may be? You come out of there right now. We bind you as spirit of loss, lost health. Maybe it's lost health. Maybe lost some health. I don't know, but we command that spirit of loss to come out right now, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. We break your control over people's life and their body, their mind. That spirit of loss, living in the loss, living just stuck and it can't move forward. We command that spirit to come out in Jesus' name right now. Come out. Come out, the spirit of loss. What you've lost, come out. The spirit of loss, lost loved one, lost family member, come out. All that spirit of loss, come out. The pain of loss, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. All that loss in Jesus' name, go, come out. All that spirit of loss, what you've lost, come out in Jesus' name. What you've lost, the grieving, come out, that grieving spirit. You come out, grieving for your loss. Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus right now, that grieving spirit, that sorrowful spirit, that stuck in the rut spirit. Come out, all the way out. Come out, all the way out. Grieving spirit, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there. Maybe you had a loss of a spouse in a divorce or in a death or separation or whatever. You're grieving. You think of the good times you had. The enemy uses that to call you to grieve and be stuck where you can't move ahead. You can't move past it. We bind that in Jesus' name. Command that spirit to go, that grieving spirit, that memory recall that always has your memory recall and things and being stuck there because of the memories. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out, come out, memory recall. Come out, 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 all the way out. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Maybe you lost a mother or father too, or an aunt or an uncle that you were close to, or a child. Come out, come out of there, all the way out. That grieving spirit, that sorrowful spirit, come out, 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 come out of there, all the way out, go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, up and out, all the way. We break any lingering soul ties with people that have left your life that might be holding you back from moving on and bouncing back and going on in life and starting a new lease on life, or a new lease on life, or whatever they call that. Come out, come out. We break those soul ties, spirits, those connections. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out. We break, cut, and sever those soul ties right now. We cut and sever them in the name of Jesus. Restore your soul to you and their soul to them. And we cut the ties. We cut the cords. We cut the ties in Jesus' name. And command those spirits that came in through the soul ties to come out of there so you can move on in life. So you can move on in life. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Any mourning spirits, mourning over the past, mourning over what you lost, come out. That being stuck in mourning, you think about it over and over and mourn the situation. Come out. All that mourning over things, come out. Crying over things, being tired of it, worn out of it, come out. All that mourning. You're stuck there. You can't move ahead. I bind you, demon. You get out the way and come out of there right now. All that mourning spirit, come out. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. You've got to move past things and move on, forgetting those things that lie behind, Paul said, and pressing on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things that lie behind. This one thing I do, he said, keep coming out of there. All that mourning over something that happened in this person or whatever, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, discouragement, come out. We break the curse of discouragement, come out. Come out, 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 come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, discouragement, come out. In Jesus' name, those spirits of discouragement, come out. Come out in Jesus' name right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out. The blood of Jesus is applied against these demons right now. The blood of Jesus is against you, demons. Come out of there all the way out, all the way out. Come out of there all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Move all the way out. Keep coming out, all the way out. All that discouragement, come out, 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 come out. In Jesus' name, come out. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus applied against these demons. Depression, you come out. Depression, come out, 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 come out. Depression, we rebuke the spirit of depression. Come out. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, we command a depression to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Maybe you're bowed down with a heavy burden. We command that spirit that's keeping a heavy burden on you to come out, that spirit of heavy burden. Come out, come out. Bowed down with a heavy burden, come out, all the way out, all that heavy burden, in Jesus' name, we command it to come out right now, that heavy burden, come out, heavy burden, in Jesus' name, come on up out of there, go, all the way, in Jesus' name, that heavy burden, come out, I bind you, heavy burden, in Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against that heavy burden. Go, 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 go. Yes, the spirit of heaviness too. Come out, come out. Spirit of heaviness, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Heaviness, spirit of heaviness. Being weighed down with things of life, the things that happen in your life, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Heaviness, spirit of heaviness, go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out. All that spirit of heaviness, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name, heaviness. We're talking to you, demon. Come out, all that heaviness, weight on your shoulders. Come out. You can't carry it. You're not designed to carry it. You cast it on the Lord. Come out, all those demons of heaviness, dark clouds over the mind. You come out, dark cloud. Come out, dark cloud over the mind. Come out in Jesus' name, dark cloud. Come out today, all the way out today in Jesus' name, right now. Go. All that heaviness, come out in Jesus' name. All that dark cloud spirit, dark cloud over the minds, come out. Come on, all that dark cloud over the mind. We bind you. We break your hold. Come out, all the way out, up and out of there, move, all the way, move, up and out, in Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, all unrighteousness. Keep coming all the way out, dark cloud, go, in Jesus' name, we know not what we have sometimes, that's for sure. We know not what demons lurking, hiding away in our lives, that's for sure, too. You know, hey, we just need to be willing and obedient to get the deliverance, even if it surprises us sometimes, what might be within us, right? Amen. Keep coming out of there. Every one of you has to go all the way out. Keep coming out of there, up and out, all the way out, Jesus' name, go. Keep going. The blood is against you, demons, right now. Sorrowful spirit, keep going. That sorrow, just having so many sorrows in your life. In Jesus' name, we command that sorrow spirit to go. All those sorrows, keeping you sorrowful, come out in Jesus' name. Go, that spirit of setback. Always seem like you go one step forward and then somehow you get to go two or three backwards. That spirit of setbacks, you come out. Always setting you back, trying to set you back. In Jesus' name, we command that setback spirit to go right now. Go. Come out. All those setback spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Spirit of the setback, come out. Spirit of the setback, always being setback. Always facing some setback, always something going wrong. Come out. All the way out. Spirit of being just stuck in a rut, come out. Spirit to keep you stuck from moving forward. You can't move forward. You're just stuck. Stuck in a rut, stuck in a position, stuck in a place in life that demons just want to keep you locked in. You come out of there right now. The spirits that are imprisoning you, come out right now. Them imprisonment spirits, come out. Imprisonment spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Go. Stuck in prison by demons. Stuck from moving forward. Stuck from doing anything that you really want to step out and do. Come out. Those imprisonment demons, come out. All in prison of demons, come out. Imprisonment, come out. All the way out. Go. Come out. In Jesus' name, we apply the blood. We send the angels against you, demons. Come out. All the way out. Sword those demons, angels. Come out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go. All the way out of there. Up and out. In Jesus' name. Go. The blood of Jesus. You gotta go. All that double-mindedness where you want to do the word, you want to get it a word, but you just then you just keep looking back at the situation, circumstances of your life, and seems like you just can't believe God. Come out, that double-mindedness. You don't want to live in instability. Come out, that double-minded spirit. Come out, unstable in all their ways. Come out, double-minded man. The Bible says in James, come out, that double-mindedness. We rebuke the spirit of double-mindedness right now. Come out of there, all the way out. Go. Yes, every bit of that imprisonment come out. Every bit of that stuck spirit, keep coming out. Keep coming out. If you're stuck, you got to go all the way out. Take a couple of deep coughs and let them go. Like that. Let them out all the way out. Go, and they will come out. They have to go. You can't be stuck in there. Stuck in the chest, stuck in the throat. I've had it all happen to me and others. They get stuck, but they have to go. They have to come out. Keep going. Imprisonment, stuck. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. Double-mindedness, all the way out. Keep going, keep going, keep moving, keep moving. In Jesus' name, keep moving up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there, all the way out. Move in Jesus' name, move in Jesus' name. Keep moving. All that double-mindedness, go in Jesus' name. That faithless spirit, come out, that faithless spirit. You know, be not faithless, but believing, Jesus said. So faithless is a spirit, right? Because he said, don't be faithless. He don't want you in that. So demons will take that one up for sure. And that is a spirit of faithlessness. Come out. That faithless spirit, come out. All the way out. That faithless spirit, come out, 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 out of there. Come out. Come out. Be not faithless, but believing. God said, don't be faithless. Don't walk in little faith, no faith, faithlessness. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out of there. All that faithless spirit. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Faithless. Come out. Faithless. You have to go in the name of Jesus right now. All that faithless spirit. You know, you're faithless. Oh, God is going to restore back to me what the devil's stolen. Oh, yeah? Where's your faith, man? Where's your faith, woman? Come on. Hey, listen to me. If there's promises in the Word, those promises are not written as a lie. They're written as the truth. It's just a matter of you embracing the truth for the reality that it is and putting it into action in your life, right? Faith without action is dead, so put it into action in your life. Live like it's true. Act like it's true, see? Amen. Amen. Go all the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Keep going. In Jesus' name. Spirit of murder, you come out. You ever wanted to just kill somebody? Murder. Spirit of murder, come out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Of course, he's not going to do it. But, you know, I had a person that told me that one time. Yeah, I wanted to kill so-and-so. You know, they had a spirit of murder. You know, they were so angry at him or hated him so much they wanted to kill him. We just command that spirit of murder to come out. All the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All spirits of murder, come out right now. Go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out. Go, go, spirits of murder, come out, come out, come out, come out of there. All the way out, spirits of murder, up and out. In Jesus' name, you have to go. Have to go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Up and out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. All that spirit of murder. All that spirit of anger. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Lucifer, let him go. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Jesus' name, go, go, go. We command the lying spirit to come out. If there's been a lying spirit ministering to you, a particular lying spirit, you have to come out. That lying spirit that's been ministering to you lies, come out right now about a situation or about a person, a circumstance. That lying spirit, you come out of there. Just renounce it right now. Just say, I renounce this lying spirit that's been ministering lies to me about something that I don't really think is true, but I'm beginning to believe it, and they're not true, see? But it's been ministering lies. If it does it long enough, a person could believe them. Come out, that lying spirit. Come out, come out. That ministering lies. Come out, day in, day out, ministering the lies. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The lying spirit in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way. Breathe it out. Let it go. All the way up out of there. All the way up out of there. All that lying spirit. All that lying spirit. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. In Jesus' name. We command the attraction spirit to come out that attracts you to wrong things. to cause you get in a snared by the enemy at some point. Come out, that attraction spirit that's attracting you to the wrong things in life at times and end up getting you in a mess again. Come out, all that spirit of attraction. Come out, 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 come out. Keep coming out. That lying spirit, every bit of it has to go. Keep coming out, all the way out, 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 out. All that attraction too, you have to go. All that attraction, come out, come out, come out. Attracting you to the wrong things, wrong people, wrong situations. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Wrong attractions, come out. Come out, try to snare you with the wrong attraction. Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 all the way out. That's right, every day I pray in tongues. Important, brothers and sisters, important. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you have your prayer language, pray in the Spirit every day, every day. Keep doing it. See what the Lord will do. Amen. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Come out, all that attraction, that wrong attraction, go in the name of Jesus right now. That wrong attraction, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Trying to get you in a trap again, get you stuck in something that's not best for you, not the will of God. Amen. Just like, remember, who was it? Abraham. He was attracted. It was his wife's idea, but who knows, he'd maybe already thought of it, but and maybe was already entertaining it. But Abraham thought, well, I'm going to think, you know, I'm attracted to Hagar, you know, I'm going to go have sex with Hagar. That way I'll do the Lord's will and have a child. Yeah, but God didn't say it to go into Hagar, did he? He didn't say to go have an Ishmael. He never said that. He said, wait on the promised child. Amen. Well, time's up, folks. I love you. God bless you. Feel this deliverance, Father, in Jesus' name. To everybody who's been delivered tonight, we thank you for sealing this deliverance, and thank you, Lord, for greater grace to walk in more and get more and grow more. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and thank you, Lord, for each and every listener. I ask you to bless them abundantly above all they could think or ask, in Jesus' name. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right, so appreciate all of you tuning in tonight. And thank you for your comments on the message. I appreciate that kindness. I give the Lord all the glory for any good that's done here on this broadcast. Any good message, I give God the glory for it. But I do thank you for telling me. You appreciated it. You all be blessed and have a good weekend in Jesus. Amen. And we just go keep on worshiping Jesus every day. Amen. Praying in tongues for those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Keep on praying in tongues too, right? And keep on honoring God. Amen. All right. Well, bye-bye.
Than the sea. But what is that to me? Got my eyes on you, my captain, and I'm finding you all that I need to guide me to my destiny. And I felt the wind blow, I felt the power flow. You're undefeatable. I've seen your fire burn, I've seen your keys turn, they are unbeatable. me captive, but they cannot take my liberty. For you have made me free. They can take all my possessions, but they cannot take one thing from me. Because you're my reality. And I felt the winds blow, I felt the power blow. You're undefeatable. I've seen your fire burn, I've seen your keys turn. They are unbeatable.
Himself, but hey, he's nothing compared to our invincible God. No matter how much the devil tries to exalt himself, he's nothing but a liar, and he will not prevail. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God, and he's going to continue to be faithful to us no matter what. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, he's good, isn't he? Oh, my. You know what? Just let him show his goodness to you. Right? Amen. Just ask him if it show his goodness to you. You know, he'll do it. The Bible says he will. Oh, yeah. Just start looking for it. You'll see it. It's there. More than you realize, in fact. Every day. Yeah. They're hidden sometimes because people aren't looking, but you take a look, you'll see his goodness. Yeah. Cause your goodness to pass by me. Show me. I mean, not pass by, it passes by, but just show us, you know. Like God showed, who was it? Moses, his rearward parts. Yeah. Well, we can see more than that. We're spiritual. They were not born again. We are born again. Hallelujah. You know, this to all the benefits. Forget not my benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity, healeth all your diseases. Wow. That's a lot of benefits just in those two, but there's much more. So don't forget his benefits. Start partaking of them. Partake of the benefits. That's part of our life. It needs to be part of our life, doesn't it? I do. I mean, if you got benefits, why not get the benefits? What are you waiting for? I'm waiting to heaven, Pastor. I get to heaven, I'll get the benefit there. Well, no. They're all there. I mean, some things you won't need those benefits when you get to heaven. I mean, you're not going to have to fight the devil anymore. You're not going to have to resist the devil. Yeah. Amen. Forget not all my benefits. He's got your benefits right now for you. Just start taking them and receiving them. Amen. Well, love you folks, and I'm going to sign off now. Appreciate each of you being here tonight, and Lord bless you. And we will talk to you next Friday night. Amen. If you have a prayer request, just email me. You know, I'll be happy to pray for it too, by the way. I do pray for people that have asked me to pray for their request, and I'm praying for a number of them right now. So don't be afraid to let your request be made known. If that's something you want to do, I'd be happy to pray for it. God bless you. Good night.